a song of glorifying the Vaishnavas. This particular song is called Vaishnava Shaman, and it's part of a bigger song called Vaishnava Vandana, which has a few hundred verses and glorifies and mentions almost all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this song here is sung by many different Gaudiya Vaishnavas, some devotees in the Gaudiya Math, some Bhagavatas and different Vaishnavas. It has both a preventative and an antidote for Vaishnava life. A lot of people sing it every day for that use. Okay. So we can go ahead and sing this.
Come on, baby.
Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnuvad Paramahamsa Parivajika Charyavarya Astotada Sata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Singa Guru Shilo Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki Jai Vaishnav Brinda ki Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Premsikoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Bindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Radhakun Shamakun Girigovardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Nabadvip Dham Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tosi Maharani Ki Shri Pancha Tattva Ki Sankirtan Jagya Ki We have Mridanga book distribution ki. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Samabeda Bhakta Vinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. See if we can go down to the last page. Maybe there's something wrong. I don't know. But at least we can have this. Gurave Gura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputram Matra Swarupam Rupam Dasya Grajam Marupurim Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mahoradika Madhavasam Prapto Yashipatita Kripaya Shri Gurum Dham Natosmi Ajanulam Bhuto Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanaika Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagapriyakaro Karuna Avataro Anarpita Chirim Chirat Karuna Avatinakalo Samarpaitam Anujvala Rasam Svabhakti Sriyam Hari Purata Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sadaridaya Kandare Spuratuva Sachinandanaha Uttama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachiya Dileka Kola Kahe Premananda Emana Goranga Hridaya Dariya Bola Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Bhaja Gauranga Kaha Gauranga Laha Gaurangera Namare Jejana Gauranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amara Pranare Jejana Gauranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amara Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Bidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Vamcha Kavadarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I want to thank everyone very much for coming today, and I beg apology to Smita Krishna Maharaj sitting in front of him. He's a very special Vaishnava. Please bless us, Maharaj. We can try to do something. So, I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. Something going on. So we'd like to speak something in the next couple of days about a seminar, which we call the Art and Heart of Vaishnava Sangha. And we have two songs we want to sing. Today one song and another song tomorrow. This song today by Devaki Nandan Das is a very special song. He glorifies the Vaishnavas with this. And it's important to note that he's glorifying all the Vaishnavas. He begins by saying, Brindabana Bhasi Jatta Vaishnaviragan Pratame Vandana Kori Sabharacharan Pratame, first of all, I'm offering my respects to all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan Dham. Tarpare, next, he offers obeisances to the devotees in Jagannath Puri. Nila Chala Basi Jatra Mahaprabhu Gan Bhumi Te Padiya Vandam Sabara Charan. And by using the word Pratame in the beginning verse, it indicates that he's going to have some kind of sequence. So especially we offer the most respect to the devotees of Vrindavan, and next to the devotees of Jagannath Puri. And then Nila Chala Nabadvipa Basi Jatra Mahaprabhu Bhakta Sabara Charana Vandan Hoi Anurakta. He prays for Anurakta, some attachment to the devotees of Nabadweep. And then after this, he prays Mahaprabhu Bhakta Jatta Godadesha Stitta. He offers respects to the devotees of Godadesh in West Bengal. Then he says, Jai Desi Baisi. Can you go down one corner? Jai Desi Baisi Gaurangera Gan. Wherever the devotees of the Lord appear. It's a very interesting thing that he's singing. This was written 500 years ago. At that time, how many places we had devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Perhaps Vrindavan and West Bengal, maybe a few people in South India. But other than that, who was there? But he's saying that wherever the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reside, Urdhva Bahu Kori Vandam, with my arms in the air. This phrase, Urdhva Bahu, appears a lot of times in Bengali literature, Gaudiya literature. It means literally with my hands in the air, but it has a different connotation to it. It means, hey, attention, this is something very important that I want to say to you. Please pay attention to this thing. So especially I want to offer respects to all the devotees, wherever they appear. And then he says, Hoya chena hoya bhena prabhu jata das sabara charana vandon dante kori das. With straw in my teeth, I offer my obeisances to all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the past and all the devotees of Mahaprabhu in the future. Now, according to the Bengali grammar, this line has several meanings. Hoya chena means the devotees in the past, but it also means those persons who used to be devotees, but they're no longer devotees. They were initiated 10 years ago and they went away and now they're a Christian and they're not practicing anymore. But Devaki Nandan Das says, I don't care. I offer my respects to them because they're very, very special personalities. They were once a devotee. So I want to offer all respects to them. And Hoya Chena, Hoya Bena rather, has another meaning also. It can mean that all the devotees of the Lord in the future, another meaning is that all those persons who are not yet devotees, but will become devotees in the future. So in other words, he's offering respect to everyone. Hoya chena hoya bena prabhu jatadas sabara charana vandandante kurigas. And someone may question, why? He says, brahmanda tarite sati, dare jane jane. Each one of these devotees has the ability to deliver a universe. And he thinks, well, perhaps the listeners are going to have a hard time digesting that one. He says, it's not my idea. Evede purana, gunagai jiva suni. This is a statement of Shastra. It's described in the Narada Pancharatra. Krishna mantra pasakanam sadhu darshana matrita satta janmar jitat papan muchate natya sansaya. Just having darshan of a devotee who's always chanting the names of the Lord, by doing that, all of one's sinful reactions that have been accumulated for 100 lifetimes become immediately vanquished. Of this, he says, there's no doubt. So the devotees, they can purify the entire universe. Not necessarily that they think they can do that by themselves, but due to their being initiated by the Lord, due to the power of the holy name can do that thing. And he says, it's not my idea. Ebedi Purana Guna Gayaji Basune. This is a statement of all the Vedic literatures. And he says that Mahaprabhu Ghana Sabapati Dapavan Tai Lobe Mui Papi Loyenu Saran. All the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they deliver the most fallen persons. And therefore I'm taking shelter of them. I'm very greedy for their mercy because I'm a very sinful person. Someone may question, Vandana Korite Mui Katha Sakti Gaya. Why are you glorifying like this? You just want someone to respect you. If we say some, Prabhuji, please forgive me for my offenses, I'm really falling. And sometimes we say, we may offer some false humility to try to get some appreciation from other people. So Devaki Nandan Das, he says that Vandana Korite Mui, Kata Sakti Dari. I have no ability, no Shakti to glorify the devotees of the Lord. And I admit very freely, Tamo Bhuri Doshi Mui Dhamba Mata Kori, that my doing so is just an exhibition of my pride. Because I don't know the devotees. I don't understand the devotees. I'm not a devotee. Can you try going down one more slide? It work? Okay, doesn't work. So then he says, Tatapi mukera bhagya manera ulas dosha kami moadami korami jadas. He says, but please forgive me for this. I can't control myself. Because to glorify the devotees is such a wonderful thing. So he says that dosha kami moadami koruni jadas, please forgive me for my offenses and make me your servant, my dear devotees. Sarva vancha siddhi hoy jamabandha chute jagate dhirlabha hoy premadhana lute. If someone worships the devotees of the Lord, then they can get this very rarely achieved Krishna prema. And he concludes the song, Manera Bhasana Puna Acharati Hoy, Devaki Nandana Das A Lobi Koi. That Devaki Nandana Das, he's greedy for this thing. He's greedy for what? It's not that he's just greedy for association, but he's greedy for bhakti. He's greedy for love of God. As he described in the previous verse, that this prema dhana lute comes from association with devotees. So hence Devaki Nandan Das writes the song. So we called this seminar the Art and Heart of Vaishnava Sangha. It's the heart of Vaishnava Sangha because Vaishnava Sangha is the heart of Krishna. Krishna describes in the Bhagavatam, the Durvasa Muni, Sadavo hridayam bhayam, sadhanam hridayam tvanam, mananyate na janati naham tebyo managapi. That you should know what's in my heart. We'd like to know what is in Krishna's heart. He says, a devotee's in my heart. and I'm in the heart of my devotees. So having nice relationships with the devotees is an integral to please Krishna. If we displease the devotees, Krishna won't be happy. Mm-hmm. Because Krishna's in their heart and they're in the hearts of Krishna. Moreover, bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. The Brihannaradiya Purana states that bhakti comes from association by the mercy of devotees. This is also described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it's said that Krishna bhakti janmamula hoya sadhu sangha. Association with the devotees of the Lord is the birthplace of bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave us association with devotees. We need association. Everyone has to associate with someone. Mm-hmm. So if we don't associate nicely with devotees, if we don't associate properly with devotees, if our relationships are not fulfilling, if we're not satisfied with that, then we'll try to have relationships elsewhere. And by having good relationships with the devotees, which is not always the easiest thing in the world to do, will also help push on Srila Prabhupada's movement and will help please Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada spoke about this on a number of occasions. Kron, can you go to the next slide thing? Would you like to read this?
Cooperation and respect among devotees. I have noted your several complaints against the devotees, but it would be better to set the example rather than to criticize the defects of the devotees. We should always remember that we recruit members from people in general. It is not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification.
And Prabhupada finishes, the best thing for you, he says, is to set the example by your personal behavior. Go ahead.
By your personal behavior and try to forget such incidences and be always in friendship with each other. So I hope you will immediately forget all these disagreements and fully cooperate for developing our Berlin Center.
So sometimes people, they come to the Krishna Conscious Movement, and we flew from Bhubaneswar to Delhi a couple of weeks ago, and when we arrived in Delhi, there was one devotee there to pick us up at the airport, and he took us to the center in Gurgaon, and as we were driving, he revealed his mind to us, and he had some questions, and he was saying that I've been a devotee now for like a year, and he said, when I first came, it was so nice, and I was so happy, and it was just, everything was so wonderful, but now after a year or so, I don't know why, but I'm not feeling so happy anymore. And then I told him, I said, who are you associating with? What are you thinking about other people? My revered spiritual master used to say that when you came here, you were very good. When you came here, you wanted Krishna. But now after a few years, you forgot why you came. And now you're just thinking about getting some position. Mm-hmm. And being a senior person, and a big man, a big leader or something. Mm-hmm. And now you're just doing politics. And so we forget the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So it's described in many different places in our Vedic literature that pride is a great stumbling block on the path of bhakti. Mm-hmm. It's said by Raghunath Das Goswami in the first verse of his Vrajvilas Stava, Pratista Raju Bhirbhadam Kamadhyarva Apati Bihi Chitvatu Samarandas Tanagare Pantumam Bhattaha. He says that I'm progressing on the road of bhakti. I'm trying to go to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, but some dacoits have stopped me. And they've taken ropes and they've tied me up and they're robbing me. Mm-hmm. And who are those robbers? He says, Pratishtha Rajabir Badham. The desire for prestige, Pratishtha, the desire for some position. This is the great thief which stops us on our road to bhakti. This pride, thinking that I'm a big person. In this regard, there's a nice story in the Karna Parva of the Mahabharata, which was told by Salya to Karna. Salya, previously, he made a promise to Yudhisthira. At first he said that he was going to fight on Yudhisthira's behalf. And then he was bringing his whole army to go to Yudhisthira. And on the way, somebody was making arrangements and having nice foodstuffs brought to his army and nice resting places and things. And he became very pleased with that. And then he found out that it was Duryodhan who was doing that. But he'd become indebted to Duryodhan. And so he had to agree to fight on behalf of Duryodhan. But then he promised Yudhisthira that, I'll do one thing for you. I'll try to speak in such a way. Eventually Karna is going to want me to be his chariot driver. Because if he goes to fight against Arjuna, the greatest chariot driver in the world is Krishna. And the only chariot driver who can compete at all with Krishna is me, Salya. So definitely he'll come to me wanting me to be his chariot driver. So at some point I'll take the opportunity and I'll speak in such a way to try to dampen his enthusiasm for fighting. So I told him a story which we printed in one of our Bindu magazines, which we called the Flight of the Crow. An interesting story. That once there was a wealthy Vaishya who was living in South India near the bank of the ocean. And the children of that man, they used to feed a crow. And their father had so much opulent food stuff, so they were giving that crow very nice cream and butter and paneer and sweets and things. And that crow was getting a little bit fat. And along with getting a little fat, he was also becoming a little proud. So one day, two Rajahamsa swans came flying over that house. And these Rajahamsa swans, their wingspan is probably greater than our arm width. And they're huge birds, very majestic, very beautiful. And when this crow, this very low bird, saw those swans, he became envious of them. And he said, who do you think you are? And he became jealous because he saw all the other birds were in awe of those swans. You think you're big persons? I challenge you to a competition of flight. Those Rajahamsa swans, they didn't have much to say. What do you want? And he said that this crow said, I can fly in so many different ways and I'll show you who's really great like that. So this crow, he flew up in the air and started flying sideways and flew upside down and going in circles. And all of his brother crows, they gathered there and they were cheering him on. Caw, caw, caw. Our brother crow is the best. Just see, we crows are the best birds that there are. And so then the crow finally finished and he said, so now you, let's see what you can do. And those Rajahamsa swans, they said, we don't know so many fancy types of flying. We just fly in a very simple way. And then they just started flying very strongly and quickly out to sea. And that crow started calling, you're trying to run away from me now, huh? So he started flying after them. And those Rajahamsa swans kept flying out over the sea, and after an hour or so of flying, suddenly the crow realized he couldn't see the shore anymore. And all that he could see in all directions was water. And his crow, he'd never flown that far before out to sea. And he started becoming afraid. And then he started getting very tired. And he wasn't able to fly properly. So after a little time, he started going lower and lower and closer to the water. Then he started becoming very afraid that some shark or some aquatic animal was going to eat him. And finally, he couldn't make it any further. And he started hitting the water and landed there. And he started crying out to that swan. Oh, brother swan, please help me. Please forgive me for my pride. Please come and help me. And that swan very mercifully turned around and came back and picked up that crow. And that crow was completely wet and disheveled and near to drowning. And he carried that crow on his shoulders back to the shore and set him down on the bank. So the story has some purport. And Salya, he told Karna, he said, you're like that crow. You've been eating the foodstuffs of Duryodhan. And now you think you're the equivalent of the great powerful warriors. In a similar way, sometimes we forget the color of our feathers. And we forget where we came from. And we think, yes, I'm a very great personality. We forget devotees like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is a very good example. He was the most exalted person. He's Vidhi. He's the controller of the universe. He's Lord Brahma, Pitamaha, who's taken birth in a Muslim family. And he's so exalted that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named him the Namacharya, or the Acharya of the Holy Name. But Haridas Thakur, he never tried to present himself as being a big person. He described himself in Harinam Chintamani to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll sing this and you can chant Hare Krishna responsibly. Amita Dhamma Turi Agama Karala Ubaye Sambande Patita Pavana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama. Around all the devotees and saying, hey, don't you know who I am? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am the Namacharya. You better respect me. He never identified himself as being anything other than a Muslim. Sometimes we see devotees, they come to Jagannath Puri and the pandits, they say, hey, probation is shade, not allowed inside the Jagannath temple. And sometimes the devotees, they feel very hurt. What is this? Don't you know? I am a Vaishnava. I won the book distribution marathon this year. You're doing some aparad. You should let me inside. But Haridas Thakur, he never complained like that. And he never tried to present himself as a great personality. He never distanced himself nor forgot his socially low birth in a Muslim family. So he's saying, Amita Dhamma. This is who I am. I'm fallen. And to me, Adama Tarana. My dear Lord, you're Adama Tarana. You're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye Sambandaye. This is our relationship. O Patita Pavan. O deliverer of the fallen. And when devotees have that kind of mood, we naturally get mercy. But this pride is a great stumbling block in bhakti. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, Dhambo dharpo bhimanascha krodha parushameva cha avgyanam cha bijatasya partha sampadam asuram. He says that pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these are demoniac qualities. They're not qualities of devotees. The nature of a devotee is that even though he's the most exalted person, he always thinks that he's the lowest person. He never demands respect. And don't think the non-devotees don't know that. They also know that because their Christian saints also had a similar mood. The Buddhist saints also have a similar mood. Every saintly person in the world has some understanding of their own insignificance. It's only very proud people who think they're something special. In that regard, on one occasion, Duryodhan, he called for Yudhisthira. And he said, Yudhisthira, I've been teaching you for so long, and now I want some guru dakshina, some bakshish. It's time you should give some donation to me. Yudhisthira said, yes, Guru Maharaj, what would you like? And Dronacharya told him that I want you to go and just bring me one person who's lower than you, who's more insignificant than you. And Yudhisthira said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And he left. And then Dronacharya called to Duryodhan. Duryodhan, I've been teaching you so long. Now I want some Guru Dakshina. Yes, Guru Maharaj, what do you want? I want you to go out and find just one person who's better than you. Yes, Guru Maharaj. And they were both gone for a long time. Finally, Yudhishthira returned. He was holding his head down. And he told Dronacharya, he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I failed. I went everywhere. I searched all over the world. But I couldn't find anyone who in all respects is lower than myself. I'm the lowest person that I could find. And just at that time, Duryodhan also returned. And Duryodhan looked very annoyed. He came and he said, Guru Maharaj, you gave me a very difficult task. Mm-hmm. I went all over the world. I searched everywhere. I couldn't find even one person who's better than me. Mm-hmm. So then Dronacharya told Duryodhan, he said, Duryodhan, your search is over. Here's someone better than you. And Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira, your search is also over. Here's someone more fallen than you. So this is the nature of a devotee, is that they're prideless. And if we have this prideless mood, then we can be protected from committing offenses to Vaishnavas. If we have this prideless mood, then we can tolerate so many things. And we'll speak something more about this, I think, tomorrow, how this tolerance and forgiveness are essential pillars of all our relationships. But this pridelessness is the source of tolerance and forgiveness. It's described that on one occasion there was one wealthy man who lived in West Bengal, and he was a Vaishnava his whole life. He was a very scholarly Vaishnava. He'd studied so much Shastra, he's very learned. And at the end of his life, he decided, as he was getting older, he decided, I want to retire from family life, and I want to take shelter of the Vaishnavas. Come in, Tapas. So he went to Radhakund. And he went to one Siddha Mahatma there. And Maharaj, please, be merciful to me. Please give me initiation. Please accept me as your disciple. And that guru, that sadhu, he looked at this man from West Bengal. And he saw that this man was very proud. And he told them, no, I'm not initiating disciples. I'm sorry. So the man went away. And again he came the next day, please, please give me initiation. No, I'm not doing this thing. Again and again he kept coming. And finally the sadhu told him, okay, I'll give you initiation, but you have to do something for me first. Yes, what is that? I want you to go out and find me one person or one creature who is lower than you in every respect. In every respect, he has to be lower than you. And if you can find me one such person, one such creature, then I'll give you initiation. That wealthy man thought, that's no problem at all. I'm a very educated person from a very high-class family. I've been a devotee my whole life. So he went out, and the first person he saw was some rickshaw wala there in Radhakund. He thought, this person here, he's a much lower person. He doesn't take bath every day even. Well, he's a very poor person, doesn't have a big education. I can bring him to this sadhu. But then he thought, well, actually, he's also doing some very special service that I don't do. Because all the sadhus who come here to Radhakund, he's riding them around on his bicycle. And he's born here in Braj. So I can't say that he's actually lower than me in all respects. So that sadhu had given him a time limit of a few days to bring someone. And so he kept going from person to person. But each time he would see someone, he would think, this person's really lower than me. But then he would see some quality, some good quality in that person that he didn't have. Until finally the day came that he was supposed to go back to that sadhu. And he hadn't found anyone. Any creature, anything. And that morning he went out to the field to answer the call of nature. And as he was doing his business, he saw a little worm on the ground. And that worm entered into his stool. I was eating that stool. And he thought, here. This is some creature who's really lower than me in every respect. But then he paused for a moment and he thought, well, actually, he has some good qualities that I don't have also. I eat very nice Krishna prasadam every day. And what happens to that Krishna prasadam after I eat it? It becomes transformed in this most abominable substance, the stool. And if someone just smells it or sees it, they become contaminated. But this worm, he has this very good quality. He eats the stool and he turns it into nice earth. So that crops and things can grow from it. He has a quality that I don't have. So then he went back to that sadhu. And he said, Maharaj, I'm very sorry, but I couldn't find anyone who's really more fallen than me in every respect. And that sadhu became pleased with him then and gave him initiation. This is required for bhakti, that we give up our false pride, that we give up our false conceptions of being who we are. So this kind of pride depends a lot on our association. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he describes this in his Bhajan Rahasya. Iti madhye asat sange kati sajaneya Kunti nati dvare deya yunne upadeya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Oh sadhus, be careful. We should be very careful to avoid bad association, dusanga. Rupa Goswami describes this twice in his Upadesh Amrita. He says, janasangash chaloyam cha. That we should give up bad association. Then he says, sangat tyagat sato brite. In the next verse, twice he says, give up bad association. So Bhaktivinoda, he says that if while you're doing your bhajan, you associate with non-devotees or bad association, then what will happen? Pratistha janmiya. This is the birthplace of false pride. Bad association is the birthplace of false pride. Just as Krishna Bhakti Janmamula Hoya Sadhu Sangha, where Sadhu Sangha is the birthplace of Krishna Bhakti, so Bhaktivinoda, he says that Asat Sangha Pratistha Janmiya, the birthplace of Pratistha, the false pride, is association with non-devotees. And he says from that Pratistha, that pride, Kuti Nati Dwari, through the doorway of Kutinati, he says duplicity. Kutinati means duplicity or fault finding. One falls down. So we have to be very, very careful in our association. It's a very big subject. I wasn't necessarily thinking to speak on it today, but someone may question and, well, what do we mean by devotee association? Vaishnavas are glorified throughout the Vedic literatures. We can read a few different statements. The Narada Pancharatra describes mantra grahana matrena naro narayanatmakaha punati lila matrena purushanam sitam sitam. As soon as someone receives a Krishna mantra, they become situated in the same platform as Lord Narayan himself, and they easily deliver 100 generations of their family just by receiving Krishna mantra. The same statement is made by Krishna Das Kabraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ishakale Bhakta Pure Atma Samarpan Sri Kali Krishna Tare Pure Atma Samarpan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. devotion. Bhakta kori atma samarpana, when someone really surrenders. At that time, say kali, Krishna tari kori atma sam. Krishna considers this person to be as good as himself. Krishna considers like that. This is the glory of someone simply receiving Krishna mantra. The Narada Pancharatra describes that such a person is on the same platform as Lord Narayan, Naro Narayan Atmakaha, and Punati Lila Matrina Purushanam Satam Satam. They very easily deliver 100 generations of their family. Similarly, it's described in Narada Pancharatra. Mataram tat prasumbaryam putrachcha saptapurusham brataram bhaginim kanyam Krishna bhakta samudaret sasnata sarva tirteshu sarva yagye sudikshitaha phalam sa libi pujanam bratti sarva bhuteshu cha. A devotee of Krishna, which previously is defined in Narada Pancharatra, is someone who has received Krishna mantra and who chants it. That's a devotee. Rupa Goswami says a similar thing in his Upadeshamrita, Krishneti yasya giritvam manasadriyeta. Anyone who simply chants Krishna's name, we should respect that person. So Narada Pancharatra says a devotee of Krishna delivers their mother, their grandmother, their wife, their brother, their sister and daughter, as well as 7 generations of his ancestors. Such a person, sasnata sarva tirteshu, they should be understood, they've already taken bath in all the sacred places of pilgrimage. It's not necessary for them to go there. I remember a few years ago, one devotee was inviting him, Prabhu, you should come, you know, it's a Mahakumbha Mela. And I said, why do I want to go there? Well, you go there and you take bath and it's very, very auspicious. And I said, what is the fruit of that thing? He said, well, you take bath at that time, you don't have to take birth again. I think you can come inside if you like. Devotees can move up a little bit maybe. There's room inside if you like. Just come. Okay, fine. So he became a little confused that I was saying like that. And I suggested to him then that if you take bath like that, you'll get some mahapunya. And what is the result of that mahapunya? Satsange prapyate pumbi sukritai purvasanchitai. You may get sadhu sangha. That's a very wonderful thing. If you go to Mahakumbha Mela and you take bath, then you may get some sadhu sangha. And what is the result of sadhu sangha? You may take initiation. What is the result of taking initiation? The word initiation means to initiate something. It means to begin. It's not the conclusion, it's the beginning. It means that we get some service from Guru. We get some instruction from Guru. So I told my friend, I said, I already have some service from my Guru. I already have some instruction. And for me to leave and go do that thing, I would consider that to be a fall down. To give up my service to go do that thing. So a devotee who's initiated in the Krishna mantra says, snata sarva tirteshu. They've already gotten the benefit of taking bath in all the different tirthas. Sarva yagyeshu dikshitaha. They've already been initiated in all kinds of sacrificial performances. Phalam salabhi pujanam. They've gotten the fruit of all different types of worship. Bhrati sarva bhrateshu vacha. And the results of all types of bretas, vows. In this Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Vaishnava darshaninaiva sparsanena cha Parvati sadyaputam jalam vahir japputa samirana. O Parvati, simply by the sight or touch of a Vaishnava, water, fire, air, and the entire world become purified. Just by seeing someone who's chanted Krishna mantra. Darshanam Vaishnavanam cha deva vanchanti nityasaha. Na Vaishnavat paraputa visveshu nikileshu cha. And he says that the demigods, they constantly desire to have the association of Vaishnavas. As such, it can only be concluded that there's nothing more sanctified within the universe than Vaishnavas. We should understand this. We can't approach the Lord unless we go through the Vaishnavas. Someone may say, well, I can read the books. Someone may say, well, I'll take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by that, we'll be able to get bhakti. But the question comes, how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu get bhakti? You may be unhappy with a comment like that. You may say, how you can say something like that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. He's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. He's Sankirtanaika Pitaro, the father of the Sankirtan movement. He's Prema Pradartha. He's given Krishna Prem. What do you mean, how did he get Krishna Prem? But Chaitanya Bhagavat says that he got Krishna Prem. It's described that when the devotees in Navadvip, they used to take bath in the Ganga. They were so attracted to Nimai Pandit. But he was such a rascal. At that time, he would always quarrel with the devotees. When he would see the devotees, he would stop them in the street. Hey, we should have some discussion. I listened to your class the other day, you know, and you're not pronouncing all the syllables right in the Sanskrit. And I saw this poem that she wrote. It's a nice poem, but there's a few mistakes. And he would debate with them, like anything. So much so the devotees used to avoid seeing him even. But still, they couldn't understand why they were so attracted to him. And so every day they were going to the Ganga, and they'd take bath in the Ganga, and they'd pray, please, Ganga Devi, please, Krishna, please give bhakti to me, my Pandit. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was coming there to the Ganga while they were taking bath, and he would go and fold their cloths and put them neatly on the bank of the Ganga. And the devotees would come out, hey, what are you doing? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would tell them, Tomara se para Krishna bhajana divare dasere se vile Krishna anugraha tore Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Tomara se para Krishna bhajana divare. Only you can give bhakti to Krishna. Because only by serving his servants will Krishna bestow his mercy. Toma sama sevile se Krishna bhakti pai Eta boli karu paje jare se bhakti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Mahaprabhu told him, the only way that I can get Krishna bhakti is by serving you. And he would grab hold of their feet. Please give me your mercy. Vrindavan Das Thakur says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized the prayers of the devotees and he accepted their mercy. It also has a very deep purport to it. On one level, we can say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that we should respect devotees. On another level, there's a deeper purport also, though. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. But he's come to get something that Krishna can't have. Something that's beyond him. And that's the love of the Supreme Person, the love of Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Devotee. Krishna's Prithivishroy, the Supreme Object of Love. And Srimati Radharani is Prithivishroy, the Supreme Abode of Love. The object of love can't understand what the abode of love is experiencing. So to do that, he had to become a devotee. And if you read through Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Mangal and different biographies of Mahaprabhu, you'll see that Mahaprabhu was relishing the love of so many devotees. Sometimes he was relishing the feelings and emotions of Dhruva Maharaj, sometimes Prahlad Maharaj, sometimes the feelings of Lord Shiva, sometimes the mood of Lord Balaram, and sometimes the mood of the gopis. Therefore, in this incarnation, he didn't come to be Krishna. And we don't worship him like that. We worship him as Bhakta Rup, as a devotee. That's his desire. Because when we worship him like that, he has something much, much more to give. We were describing this yesterday morning, I think, in Stockholm. Or the day before yesterday, was it? Like that. So, if we want to please Krishna, if we want to get Krishna Bhakti, we have to please the devotees. And then a question comes too, that which devotees? In this regard, our acharyas have given many different words of caution that we should be careful not to be sectarian. Srila Prabhupada has also described some, made some similar comments to this in his writings. He said in one letter, ISKCON, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, is a non-lucrative organization whose purpose is to promote the well-being of human society by drawing its attention to God. We are a non-sectarian society, and our members include people from Christian, Jewish, and Muslim, as well as Hindu faiths. He doesn't say from backgrounds or from Hindu, Muslim families, but he says from faiths. The aim of ISKCON is not to found a new religious sect, but to invoke the living entity's dormant love of God, and thus provide the human society of all faiths with a common platform of clear theistic knowledge and practice. Members of ISKCON may retain their own respective religious faiths, as ISKCON is meant to establish a clear, practical, common formulation of the common ideal of all theists, and to defeat the unnecessary dogmatic wranglings that now divide and invalidate the theistic camp. The common ideal of theism is to develop love of God. This was Srila Prabhupada's purpose. He didn't want to come and create a new religion. He wanted ISKCON to be a society which many, many different people could take shelter of. We were recently in Dnipropetrovsk in Ukraine. And I was very interested to hear there that there were some Christian priests who started coming to the temple. And they stayed, they retained their position as being Christian priests, but they just started coming to the Hare Krishna temple because they liked Srila Prabhupada's teaching so much. They found so much inspiration in it. They didn't give up their Christian faith. They didn't give up their dress. They didn't give up their position in the Christian church. And the devotees have told us that even one of them, he got some terminal illness. And he requested the devotees to please give him some place to stay. And he stayed there at the temple. And he was there for a few weeks, and he left his body with devotees doing kirtan around him. So this was Srila Prabhupada's idea for ISKCON. In Dnipropetrovsk, in Ukraine. There's similarly, there's a number of statements from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. We've printed some of them in some articles in our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazine, our email magazine. There's one letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to one devotee, one bhakta, I can't recall his name, but he's a Muslim. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's very good you're chanting Hare Krishna, and you can still be a Muslim. You can be a member of ISKCON. You just chant Hare Krishna, and we want you to develop love of God. Prabhupada said a similar thing in a room conversation in Hong Kong, that the purpose of this movement is to give people love of God. And he said, we don't care if you're a Christian, or if you're a Jew, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Hindu. We just want to know, where is your love of God? Similarly, in Europe, in England, Prabhupada met with one Christian nun. And he told her, he said, that our society is a non-sectarian society. We're interested in encouraging people and teaching them how to develop love of God. That's our purpose. It's a very important thing. If we want to serve Srila Prabhupada, we have to understand what is his purpose, what is his mood. If we want to become real members of the society, we have to understand what is the purpose of his society. In that regard, my revered spiritual master, he used to say, what is ISKCON? He said, ISKCON is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not a tricky question. And he said, who is really a member? those people who are Krishna conscious. That was Prabhupada's desire, to form a society with people who want to hear about Krishna, who want to think of Krishna, who want to speak about Krishna, chant Krishna's names. They can come together and associate. Mm-hmm. Who is really a member, he said? A person is Krishna conscious. And on one occasion when he said this, in one class, I was sitting in front of him, and he pointed at me. And he said, Madhavananda, not joined. Mm-hmm. So people sometimes they ask us, when did you join ISKCON? I say, well, I haven't yet. But I'm aspiring to join. So we should think about Srila Prabhupada's mission, mm-hmm. and not make ISKCON into simply another religion. And we become very fascinated by the culture and things of Vaishnavism in India. And it's a wonderful culture. I like that culture very much, and that's why 20 years ago we moved to India and we've been living in Jagannath Puri. But it wasn't Srila Prabhupada's purpose just to show people how to dress and how to take prasadam properly and develop this Vaishnav culture. His purpose was to give people bhakti. And he understood that not everyone was going to be able to get on the cultural boat all the way. If we study about the early devotees, I'd say probably 30 or 40% of them were homosexual in the very early days. And Prabhupada knew that. And Prabhupada told me that he didn't mind that. It didn't make any difference. It wasn't a bar for someone to join. It wasn't a bar for them to be a devotee. Because the movement is really open for everyone. Prabhupada described in... one place that our purpose, he said, our only purpose is to make people happy. We have no other desire. We don't say to you, give us some money in exchange for your Krishna consciousness. No, that's not our business. We're not merchants. We're spreading this Krishna conscious movement free of charge. We are engaged servants of Krishna. Krishna will provide for us. Krishna will provide for us. Mm-hmm. That was from a lecture he gave in Delhi. Similarly, in Hyderabad in 1974, Prabhupada said, practice bhakti yoga and be Krishna conscious. Make your life successful. That is our mission. This is what we're teaching. It's not a business that give me some money and I'll teach you. It's open. We're asking everyone, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What is the difficulty? There's no loss. You haven't got to pay anything. In Hong Kong, he said, we are asking people without any argument or political purpose or social purpose. No, we're simply asking that you chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Wherever we are opening our branches, it's our only business that we're requesting people to chant Hare Krishna or Radha Krishna. We don't want anything. We don't want to do any business. We're simply spreading this Hare Krishna mantra. Because people are being washed away. This is Srila Prabhupada's desire. And we should try to fulfill that desire. And Prabhupada, he wanted, in that regard, for devotees to cooperate together. And Prabhupada said a number of strong comments in that regard. He wrote a letter to Pradyumna Prabhu in 1969. Prabhupada said, I'm pleased to note that everything is going on very harmoniously in your temple. This is a symptom that you're all executing your Krishna conscious duties nicely. That everyone is working together in a harmonious way. And Prabhupada said a famous statement, your love for me will be shown by your, how much you cooperate to keep this institution together after I go. Prabhupada again and again and again, so many statements he made that he wanted devotees to try to cooperate together. And Srila Prabhupada was respectful of other devotees, other Vaishnavas outside of ISKCON. He was respectful of other religionists. And we should note that. It's not that someone has to give up being a Muslim, give up being a Hindu, give up being a Gaudiya Mutt person. If they don't have to give up being a Muslim, I don't swear they have to give up being a Gaudiya Mutt person. I hope that's not too political. To be able to take part in ISKCON. All that's required is that they can work cooperatively with the devotees and help push on this movement. Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion, there are many societies and associations of pure devotees And if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid. So this is an important principle. It's a, you could say, an axiomatic principle in the sense of associating with a big person. If you want to come close to a famous person, to a big person, then you're going to have to deal with the fact that this person has relationships with many, many other people. And if you try to just simply claim that person for yourself and try to keep other people away from them, then the likelihood is that they won't allow you to come close to them. You won't be able to come close to them because their nature is they have friendship with so many different people. And this is Krishna's nature. Krishna is there for everyone. Everyone is Krishna's devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about this in his writings. He says that this sectarianism, it's a great stumbling block for bhakti. Because bhakti means we want to come close to Krishna, but if we have some prejudice, then many different problems will come. Bhaktivinoda says, to be controlled by prejudice causes many problems. From prejudice arises partiality. If you're prejudiced, I like this and I don't like this, then you like this group or you don't like that other group. We're good here. I like the devotees here, but the devotees in Stockholm, they're not so good. The devotees in this other group, they're not so good. There's other religions, they're not so good. And from partiality comes disrespect for truth. Truth is that Krishna is connected with everyone. We should respect everyone. But if I have this partiality, then I won't be able to do that. Bhaktivinoda says a very startling thing then. He says that wearing the signs of a Vaishnava is one of the methods of cultivating devotion. It's good, it's healthy. Sometimes people, they say, what's the use of tilak and kunti mala and that? I don't want to do that. I'll just... No, Bhaktivinoda says this is very healthy. This is a very beneficial practice in the development of bhakti, to wear the symbols of Vaishnavism. He said, but to think that these things are the distinguishing characteristic of a Vaishnav is a prejudice arising from sectarianism. Thinking that someone has tilak, they're a devotee. They're shaved up, they're a devotee. Someone's wearing a sari or dhoti, they're a devotee. And if they're not doing that, they're not a devotee. I won't associate with them. And Bhaktivinoda describes that what happens from that. Controlled by such false beliefs, a person may not respect a real Vaishnav who's not wearing those marks. You may meet someone and who is this person? I don't appreciate them. If a devotee has such prejudice, he can't find good association, and he can't find good association in his own organization. He won't venture to find good association elsewhere. If you have this kind of prejudice, so they only like the devotees here in the farm, and nobody else, I don't appreciate him, then how are you going to go on? Only the devotees, the disciples of my Guru Maharaj, they're good. And I don't appreciate disciples of other gurus. How will they be able to get good association? It's not just that we should associate with people just on the basis of who they're initiated by, or where they live, or how they dress, or what kind of tilak they put on. But we need to look to see people's hearts. In this regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita and in Krishna Samhita, he speaks about, not this one, he speaks about the different obstacles in the way of bhakti, one of which is, he describes Krishna's naimittika leelas, his occasional pastimes, as being representative of different obstacles in the path of bhakti. And these obstacles mostly are sent by Kamsa. In Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says that Kamsa, he represents the atheistic head of mundane religion. And he wants to propose some mechanical form of religion. And he wants to kill real spiritual life. So he sends different personalities to try to kill that real spiritual life. That real spiritual life is Krishna. And those different demons begin with Putana. Putana represents the false guru. She looks like a mother who wants to feed the children, her breast. But in reality, she wants to kill the child. So Putana is a false guru, wants to kill the sincere, genuine spiritual aspiration of the devotee and just replace it with some mechanical following. This is Kamsa's desire. So these different Naimittik Leelas represent different obstacles. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes the obstacle known as Kaliya. Kalita dasame lakshya. Kaliye sarparupake. Sampradaya virodho yam davanalo vichinchite. That Kaliya always pollutes the water of the Jamuna. And that water of the Jamuna is the spiritual liquid of the Vaishnavas. It's the life of Vrindavan, the Jamuna. And Kaliya represents malice, some criticism and enviousness. And it pollutes the Jamuna, it pollutes all of Braj. So therefore Kaliya has to be driven out of Vrindavan. And after the Kaliya Dhamana Leela, the next obstacle which takes place is Dhavanala, the forest fire. Uh-huh. And Bhaktivinoda says this forest fire represents sectarianism, where people don't respect Vaishnavas outside of their group, outside of their group. We were noting the other day that in the Madhya Leela, chapter 13, the Rathayatra pastimes, it's mentioned there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with all the different sampradayas. And they were all Gaudiya devotees. All the different lines of devotees. In other words, they were different groups, separate groups. But they were all one in the sense that they all loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were different groups. What are those different groups? Those different groups are followers of different gurus. Because it's a natural thing. Someone has a particular guru, they want to associate with him. They have particular faith in him, and someone else may not have faith in their guru. They may not criticize him, but they may not share the same faith. So we would prefer to associate with someone who has a similar faith to us. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a sectarian thing, it's a natural thing. Krishna's pastime of swallowing the forest fire took place twice in Braj. There was one fire which was there on the bank of the Jamuna, which that pastime took place just after the Kaliya Dhamana Leela, as I mentioned. And the other pastime took place in Bandaravan forest. And it's described in that occasion that Krishna, one day, he went with his lakhs and lakhs of young calves and his cowherd boyfriend, and they went to Bandaravan, playing their musical instruments and singing different songs as they were going along. And the boys stopped somewhere. There was some nice grass for the cows to eat, and the boys were playing. And one by one, the calves, they wandered away in search of green grass. And then the boys, they noticed that the calves had gone. So without saying anything to Krishna, they went after those calves. Mm-hmm. And started searching for them. Just at that time, there was some forest fire that came. Sanatana Goswami says that this forest fire was a friend of Kaliya. And other people say that it was a demon sent by Kamsa. Mm-hmm. Some people say that the second fire was a friend of Pulumbasura. In any case, a gigantic fire burst out. And suddenly the boys and the calves, they found themselves surrounded by this fire. And they had no hope. So then they began to call out to Krishna, 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 help. And Krishna very quickly came there. And Krishna chastised them. Why did you leave me? If you had told me why you were leaving, then I could have solved this very quickly. I could have brought all the calves back, but you forgot me. So now there's some big trouble. The calves represent go, the cows. Go also means our senses. And when we try to follow our senses, looking for fresh green grass, then it takes us away from Krishna. And the cowherd boys who are going after those cows, they forgot to call out for Krishna. And so they got into some trouble. This pastime also has some allegory that the dry grass, which caught on fire very quickly, represents our old age. When we get older, we still have the same sense desires we had when we were young. But the ability to fulfill those desires is no longer there. And everything becomes very, very dry. So Krishna told them, you forgot me, so now there's a big problem. Anyway, I want all of you to sit down and close your eyes. Why did Krishna tell them to close their eyes? The boys, they were thinking, Krishna's going to chant some mantra. Mantras are very secret. So he doesn't want us to see this thing publicly. But our acharyas say there's another reason why Krishna told them to close their eyes. Because Krishna was remembering that previously, in Gokul, there on the bank of Brahmanda Ghat, Krishna once ate some dirt. And the cowherd boys, they saw that, and they went and told Mother Yashoda. Krishna was eating dirt, and Krishna thought, I got in big trouble for that. And now if they see me eating fire, and they go and tell Mother Yashoda about that, what is she going to say then? I'll really be in big trouble. So Krishna told the boys to close their eyes. And then Krishna, he swallowed that forest fire. Some of our acharyas described that it became a very pleasing, like nectar drink for Krishna by the potency of yoga maya. So this forest fire, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, represents the sectarianism amongst devotees. We have to give that up. Everything will be spoiled. And that sectarianism can take place both on a microcosmic level and a macrocosmic level. On a microcosmic level, it takes place in our society. I have my friends, my group, I have my God brothers. They're good, other people are bad. I have to frankly admit, I'll state it in public even, I don't associate with so many of my God brothers. Some of them are okay. I have my friends, but I like to see people who are nice persons. And we've had over the years in Jagannath Puri different people coming. We've had the good fortune to make good friends with some people who are Christians. Some Jewish couple came on one occasion, different people. And they're nice people. We should look to see people's good qualities and not just their external affiliation. So if we make some different camps within the society, then it becomes like a forest fire, which will burn our bhakti and which will destroy the purpose of this society. And moreover, if we have this attitude about people outside the society, the same thing will also happen. We won't please Krishna. We often do Govardhan Parikrama. And when we do Govardhan Parikrama, we're always enjoined by the Vaishnavas, you should respect everyone you see. And many people, when they do Govardhan Parikrama, they buy some gur, they buy some peanuts, and they feed the monkeys, and they feed the cows, and the dogs, and the pigs, they feed the ants. They offer obeisances. You see sometimes sadhus going around Govardhan Hill, and they're offering their obeisances to every single person that they see. Because we don't know who's who and what's what. So we should offer respect to everyone. Because especially at that place, we should see that everyone is Krishna's devotee. This is the nature of a Vaishnav. And if we have this kind of mood, then we'll always have a Vaishnav Sangha. We'll always be happy. We'll always see devotees there. If we don't have this kind of mood, it's not a Vaishnav Sangha. Everyone may be wearing tilak. You may be wearing Kunti Mala and jumping up and down and chanting Hare Krishna. But it's not a Vaishnav Sangha if we don't respect everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us that a Vaishnav is someone who's amanina manadena, who respects everyone. Krishna Kun. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in this regard in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he's described eight different reasons why we offer respect. This is the same topic that we spoke on before, Maharshi. Remember Vrindavan? He says that we should respect everyone. Dehonata jata jata. In his song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, he gives a footnote. He says, this song is a commentary on Trinadapi Sunichina. And he says, Dehonata jata jata, that we should learn how to offer respect to everyone. Huh? How can we offer respect? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives 8 different reasons. The first of which is Naramatvara Maryada, which means respect to anyone who's a human being. Well, we all know a lot of human beings. We should respect them. They're human beings. But more respect we give to Sabhyatara Maryada. Sabhyatara Maryada means someone who is a civilized person. But more respect than that we give to Raja Maryada, or someone who has some position. More respect than that we give to Vidya Maryada, someone who has some knowledge. More respect than that we give to Sadguna Maryada, someone who has good qualities. More respect than that we give to Ashram Maryada, to Varna Maryada, someone who is a Brahmin especially. And then more respect than that we give to Ashram Maryada, especially the sannyasis. If we don't do that, how will our society go on? But the 8th and final most important type of respect is respect to bhakti, bhakti maryada. This precludes all the others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this Naramatvara Maryada. We should respect everyone as a human being. And what to speak of a human being, even someone who may be a non-human being, we can offer respect. Srila Prabhupada, on one occasion, he went to the Nandankanan Zoo. This is in January 1977, when he came to Bhubaneswar. And they were going through the zoo, and one of the devotees, I think it was a sannyasi, I think I know who it was, anyway, had taken his danda, and he was poking a lion through the cage. And the lion was getting annoyed. And Prabhupada suddenly said, hey, stop that. You should be respectful. After all, he's a lion. You should give him respect. So if we should respect a lion, then how much we should respect a human being? Regardless of their birth, we should give them some respect. As many different personalities, they may not always be so sattva-gun, but they're human beings. We should give some respect to them. They're worthy of that respect. But more respect than Naramatvara Maryada, respecting someone just who is a human being, we give respect to Sabhyatara Maryada, someone who's a gentleman. And they may be, as we have in a picture here, a good British person. They're a gentleman. What is a gentleman? A gentleman is someone who's gentle. They're not harsh. They're respectful to others. We can appreciate. These are good qualities. I would prefer to associate with him than I would to associate with a headhunter or a cannibal. I'll give respect to the cannibals and headhunters, but we don't like to associate with them. We prefer to associate with someone else. But more respect than this, we give to Raja Maryada or Pada Maryada, which means someone who has some position, a king. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada, he comments in the story of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he couldn't tolerate any more working for the Nawab Hussein Shah. Nawab Hussein Shah was a big meat eater. He hated the Vaishnavas, he hated the Brahmins. He wanted to go to Jagannath Puri and break the temple. And Sanatana Goswami couldn't tolerate anymore. He wanted to join the Hare Krishnas. So he sent in some note, I'm not feeling good today, I'm a little sick. And he stayed at home. So many days went by like this. And the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was just wanting to enjoy with his different wives and have a good time, and he would leave everything to his Prime Minister, Sanatana Goswami, was finding some difficulty. So he sent a man to go see what was going on with Sanatana Goswami. His man came back and said, he's with those Hare Krishna people. Right, and they're just sitting around reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna all day. Sanawabu Sen Shah became a little annoyed. And he came there to see him. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, Patsaha de kiya sabe sambrame utila sambrame asana diya raja re vasaila Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All those Brahmins and Sanatana Goswami saw the Nawab appear, they all stood up and gave him respect. Well, why did they do that? Have you ever met a devotee who will tell you, if you speak in some appreciative terms of a Vaishnava, and they say, I don't like that person. They're not good. They did this thing. They did that thing. So why would they offer respect to the Nawab Hussein Shah? Because he'd killed more cows than anyone else there in the assembly. He's such a demoniac person. Why are they offering respect to him? Srila Prabhupada notes in his purport that they were giving him respect because they saw Krishna in him. They saw that Krishna had given him that position. Krishna, go to the next one. When a person occupies an exalted executive post, one should consider that he has achieved the grace of the Lord. This is the behavior of a cultured person. It's not the behavior of the hippies, I have to admit, who want to question everything and challenge everyone in their position. When I was a young boy at that time of the 70s, 60s and 70s, our favorite thing was, we were telling Babuji last night, we put these stickers up on the walls of the school. Question authority. That was our slogan that we had. That's a nice idea in some ways, but it's not always so practical. We should respect whoever has some position. If we don't respect them, how will things go on? And moreover, for those persons who are interested in practicing serious bhajan, I'll give you a secret. If we don't support the managers, then a very terrible thing may happen to us. We may become managers. And then it may be very, isn't it, Prabhuji? Very difficult. And then it becomes very difficult to do your bhajan. And everybody just goes to criticize you, like anything. I saw some cartoon in the newspaper some years ago. And there was a board meeting of different people. And there was one man who was sitting in the head chair there. And he had a bunch of different knives and axes and spears and arrows and different things sticking all over through his body. He looked like a porcupine or something with different things sticking out of him. And somebody said, so who's going to become the next chief director? That's what it means for that position. So saintly persons, they support that. Even if that leader may not be the best leader in the world. But if he's doing it, as long as he's not like Danu or something, really a really crazy, envious person who's going and killing people and killing cows or some terrible thing, but let us respect him. So we should respect that Raja Marietta, that Pada Marietta, but more than that, a progressive society respects Vidya Marietta, someone who has some education, some knowledge. Because if we give respect to that, then people want to go in that direction. They want to study. They want to learn something. Because naturally, everyone wants respect. But more than that, Vidya Marietta, we give respect to Sadguna Marietta. Someone who has good qualities. In that regard, I remember I had occasion some years ago I was invited to give a talk at a Pando program with the governor of Orissa. And it was a big program. There's about 25,000 people in a small village gathered for that. And they sent a car for us. And when I got in the car, there was some professor. And he was also going to be one of the speakers at the program. And so on the way to the program, it was about a half an hour drive. He was talking with me, and this man was amazing. Excuse me? The bicycle? Oh, we'll get to that. this man, this professor, he, that's why I was, didn't want you to do this one. It's okay. He had he'd memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. He knew every verse in the Gita. He knew hundreds, maybe thousands of verses from the Bhagavatam. But man, it was amazing. And then I found out he knew so many verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he knew so many verses from Alipa Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. He was just a Sanskrit genius. And he had some other ideas. He started telling me, you know, actually, Jagannath is Buddha. And then he was telling me some of his other realizations about how it's okay to eat fish. It's very nice. Yeah. And he also liked to smoke cigarettes and different things. So we give respect to him because he has some knowledge. And particularly, this person had a lot of knowledge of Shastra. But we give more respect to someone who has good qualities. Krishna Kund and I remember a few years ago, we were in Jagannath Puri and we wanted to go someplace. And if any of you have been to India, it's always a difficulty for Bideshis, for white-skinned persons, to get a rickshaw because they want to charge you 50 times more than the proper price. So everybody that we were trying to stop, all the rickshaws, they wanted us to pay 30 rupees or 50 rupees. And I was very annoyed. Because I knew it's a 10 rupee ride. I just wouldn't do it. And so we just told these guys, forget it. And we started walking. And then finally some rickshaw came to us and he stopped and said, get on. And I said, yeah, kete dam, how much? And he says, 10 rupees, 10 rupees. Oh, so we got on the rickshaw. And as soon as we got on the rickshaw, immediately the man started singing, Paramananda, he Madhava, Padunga Luchi Makaranda. Singing a very, very beautiful Riya song, glorifying Lord Jagannath and Krishna. And the whole way, about a 10-minute ride, he was just singing different songs, glorifying Krishna the whole way. He was such a good person, a very honest person. So I'd rather associate with him than our professor friend. So Sadguna Maryada is more important. But more important than Sadguna Maryada is that we respect Varna Maryada. Mm-hmm. Someone who has a position of a Brahmin. Why do we, go ahead with the next one. Why do we offer respect to that person? Dikshasti chet pranativishcha bhajanta misham. Because they have diksha. Diksha kali. Krishna says that at the time of diksha, that person becomes as good as me. That person, those persons who have diksha, they're worshipping the Lord. Prabhupada says in one letter, this doesn't mean we should eat fish, but Prabhupada says in one letter that the pandas in Puri, they're eating fish, but Jagannath is accepting their service. Doesn't mean we should eat fish. Mm-hmm. But the Jagannath is accepting their service. They're Jagannath's men. So we should respect that. By respecting the Brahmins, we're respecting Lord Jagannath. We're respecting the deity. And we should respect, moreover, anyone who acts according to their varna. There's not so many people in Kali Yuga who act according to being a Vaishya Sudra, Kshatriya, or a Brahman, who act according to that. You go to India today and you'll see sometimes you go past someone who's butchering some goat or something and the person has a Brahman thread on. And they're supposed to be a Brahman. Or sometimes you may see them selling liquor or something. They're supposed to be a Brahman, but they have very bad qualities. They're taking on an abominable profession. It's very rare to see people who really accept a particular varna. But higher than varna maryada is ashram maryada. We should give respect to anyone who is a sannyasi. And this is a very important principle. If we don't do this, we won't be a progressive society. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jayapataka Maharaj in 1970. He said, regarding your questions, how to offer respects to sannyasis, every sannyasi you see, even a Mayavadi sannyasi, offer him your respects. There'll be no harm. It's important. We should offer, that's a cultured person. Because we see this person has taken a vow, they've given up everything. They have the quality of renunciation. We're respecting that. They may not even be a Vaishnava, but we're respecting their quality of renunciation, giving up material life. amongst the Brahmins are respecting their quality of knowledge and their quality of serving the Lord. It's not a sentimental thing. There are reasons why we give respects to this. Srila Prabhupada was once in Chattikar, near to Vrindavan, and he was walking with some of the devotees. Smara Hari Prabhu was telling me this story. He was there at that time. And he said that as they were walking, some of the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis, some you can call them Mayavadi sannyasis, were coming the other way. And when they saw Srila Prabhupada, they bowed their head and said, Namo Narayan, which is the way a Mayavadi sannyasi will greet another sannyasi. And Prabhupada greeted them back, Krishna Matirastu, may you think of Krishna. Yeah, but his respects to them. And the devotees kept walking. And suddenly Srila Prabhupada stopped. Smara Hari Prabhu said, Prabhupada slammed his cane down on the stone and very angrily turned to the devotees. Why you didn't offer respect? Why you didn't offer obeisances? And the devotees said, Prabhupada, they're Mayavadis. Prabhupada said, they're sannyasis. You should give them your respect. This is a cultured person. The associates of Sanatana Goswami, who are so fortunate to associate with the eternal associate of the Lord, they gave respect to Nawab Hussain Shah. What to speak about some Mayavadi sannyasi, some sannyasi in another camp, some Gaudiya Mutt sannyasi, maybe we see a Babaji. We don't want to associate with those people. We want to stay with our group. Prabhupada was very clear about that. And that's another subject, but we should still respect everyone. Prabhupada writes in his purport in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 4, he says, it's a general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. If some superior person chastises you, says the general etiquette is, and there may be exceptions, the general etiquette is that you shouldn't argue with them. Prabhupada says, even if they're sometimes harsh in their behavior, they should not be harshly treated. We should contemplate this thing. If we don't behave in this way, if we don't give respect to different managers, different leaders in the movement, to sannyasis in the movement, to preachers, to GBC members, to gurus, how will our society go on? We need to learn simply to be more cultured. And it's not that if I offer respect to someone who may not be fully qualified, that somehow something happens to me and I lose some good qualities. No, you get more good qualities. You may respect them. Maybe they've had some problems. Maybe they had some fall down. But they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're doing some good thing. We should respect that. And that'll be good for us. That'll be good for our society. The situation in the world today is a very, very depressing situation. No one has respect for management. No one has respect for leaders. In America, it began, some say, with the Vietnam War. They made up some story that the Vietnamese were attacking some American ships off the coast of Vietnam. They weren't, but they told some lie as a trick so that they could send in American forces and start fighting because they were worried about Russia taking over Vietnam, and America had some political interest in that way. So they did that, and then later on it came out that actually the Vietnamese hadn't attacked the American ships at all, and it was a big loss of faith amongst the people in America. And then the next thing happened was Richard Nixon and his fall from power, his impeachment, and so many people lost faith in all the leaders. And so this thing happens. It goes on. When the leaders do some bad thing, people lose faith in that. So the leaders of the movement have to be very, very careful. If we have some management position, we should understand that I have a responsibility. If I fall down from this, if I do some bad thing, it's going to hurt Prabhupada's movement. But at the same time, the other devotees, they should also realize, I'm no better than that person. He used to wear Levi's before he joined. I also used to wear Levi's before I joined. It's not that, I'm a bigger person or a different person than him. He had this problem. I may also have a problem. If we hate everyone who has a problem, then how will we learn? How will we grow? What we'll be doing is denying part of ourself. part of our own history, and we're living in an illusion. So we should be respectful to sannyasis, irregardless of their particular affiliation. But more than that, we should offer respect to bhakti. And this is described in the Brihanaradiya Purana, that there's a story there that on one occasion there was an assembly of rishis. The Sapta rishis were there, the seven primary rishis. Narad Muni was there. It was headed by Markandeya Rishi. He was a very senior person. He was seven kulpas old. That means a, I don't know what, any mathematicians here know this? That a few billion years old or something, you know what I mean? He's a really very senior person. And he's sitting, he's the person in charge of that assembly. And then suddenly a little boy came in that assembly. The little boy, his name was Parashara. Later he became famous as Parashara Muni. But at that time he was 7 years old. Just a little boy. Markandeya Rishi was seven kulpas old. Parashara was 7 years old. When that little boy entered the assembly, Markandeya Rishi jumped up and he got down on the ground and offered obeisances to that little boy. And he wasn't doing that for all the other rishis and persons. Little boy, did you ever offer obeisances to a child before like that? I remember once we were standing on the street in Los Angeles in front of the LA Temple, and one of the little Gurukuli boys was coming. He was 5, 6 years old. And I told our friend, he looked so effulgent, we really appreciated it. I said, we should offer obeisances to him. So we did. We're older people, we offered obeisances. The little boy started crying. He became so frightened. What? So you can imagine Parashara Muni in an assembly with the Sapta Rishis, you know, the most important Rishis in the whole universe, and here's this person who's seven kulpas old, and you're just a little seven-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And you come to that assembly and he gives respect to you, more respect than all the other rishis and personalities there. Mm-hmm. So Parashara said, what are you doing? This is not right. And even some of the other rishis, they were kind of wondering, what's going on? Why are you giving more respect to him than to me? This is not good. Mm-hmm. Markandeya Rishi, he saw what was going on. He smiled. Markandeya Tavihasan. Praha madhya tapasvinam ayuso gananam naivam vakshum shachchinu tatvataha yavanto hikshana jata hari smityaiva dehinam ekikritaiva tenaiva ganam kayayamasuha. Markandeya Rishi, he asked those sages there, he said, how do we calculate seniority? He said, is it just by age? We were citing this the other day. Prabhuji was telling me that there's some oak trees in Stockholm which are over 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. So what do we give more respect to? Who do we give more respect to? One of those 1,000-year-old oak trees or to a week-year-old tulsi plant? Mm-hmm. This is Markandeya Rishi's question. Mm-hmm. We give more respect to tulsi. We give respect to bhakti. He said, the time that one spends remembering the Lord, that's calculated, is the actual span of one's life. And he said, although this little boy, Parashara, is only 7 years old, he spent more time in those 7 years of his life thinking of Krishna than all of us put together. So he's senior to all of us, and we should give respect to him. So respect is something which guides a society. It's kind of a carrot in front of a donkey, which attracts everyone, because everyone wants some respect. So a progressive society is a society that recognizes and respects bhakti. If other societies, for example, in the West or Sweden today, I think probably the most respected quality in society today is money, is how much wealth you have, maybe some mundane education, and especially your bodily beauty. They respect that. And so that will take society in a certain way. However you get that money, then you'll be respected. Well, some people, then I'll rob for that money. I'll kill people for that money. I'll do whatever. That society doesn't develop good qualities. We need to protect Srila Prabhupada's society. And we sometimes ask devotees the question that in our society, what will happen if we place emphasis on, more emphasis on money as a system of respect? What will happen? Can anybody make any comment on this? Just in our society, if we give more respect to people who give big donations than to other people. The demoniac mentality, yes. It's not the attitude of a devotee, it's the attitude of a demon. The demons, they want money, and people will be discouraged by seeing that. That's a good point. Any other thoughts on that? What will happen if our society, if we place, give more respect to people who give money? We'll compromise our principles because that's not our principle. We should want bhakti. We don't care if someone has a lot of money. We care if someone has some devotion. That's a good comment.
Lose power of maha mantra in that way.
Well?
Lose power of maha mantra. We wouldn't have that mercy anymore from Krishna.
Yes. Why will Krishna be merciful to us? Because we're not respecting people due to their connection with Krishna. We're respecting because some taka, some money. We're not. Sometimes we tell people that we see some priests, they're not worshipping Krishna Bhagavan, they're worshipping Paisa Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. Do you know some people like this in India? They're worshipping money god, and they're going to Wall Street, and they're offering their obeisances and doing their worship like that. So if we have a society who places stress on money like that, Hare Krishna Guru. We'll compromise our principles. And people will become discouraged. They'll see they don't care about me as a person, they just want my money. And the people who give donations will also feel like that. They don't care about me. I remember once, this is a true story, I was once invited by the temple in Bhubaneswar. We're not trying to do any politics, there's different people, but they phoned me one day and they said, Madhavananda, some wealthy a life member would like you to come and give a lecture in his house. It turned out what he really wanted was just some white-skinned person, Western, to give a talk. Okay, that's me. So we went there. And the man had a very big house with so much money and nice family and that. And he sat down, and I wanted to try to somehow touch his heart. And so I told him in the lecture, I said, we don't want your money. We don't even care if you become a member. We just want to see that you're happy. And you'll become happy by chanting Hare Krishna. Whether we get your money or not, we don't care about that. And there was some brahmacharis from the temple who were there. And they saw me speaking like that, and they became a little disturbed. So when we were going back to the temple in the car, they were speaking among themselves in Oriya. They thought I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I could. And they were complaining, this is very bad. If we tell these people we don't want your money, they won't give us their money. what is he doing telling them we don't care if they're a member or not? Very, very bad thing. We shouldn't. And they never asked me to do it again. But I'm happy with that because this is Srila Prabhupada's principle. Prabhupada said, we don't want your money. We just want to see that you're happy. And the principle is that if you capture someone's heart, their wallet comes along with it. And their car and their refrigerator and their house and whatever they have, they'll also give you all those things. But Krishna doesn't want those things. Krishna doesn't want their bodies. It's not that our preaching is like the invasion of the body snatchers. Krishna's a vegetarian. He doesn't want bodies. Krishna says, patram pushyam phalam toyam yome bhakti prayachati. Krishna wants bhakti. Krishna doesn't want us to go and collect bodies. He wants us to collect people's hearts. You have a comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. In the next step, what you asked is that we would not be able to convince people and then they would go to another spot.
Yeah, it happened.
That's how I went from Christianity to Hare Krishna.
Uh-huh. And that's why a lot of people leave Krishna consciousness. Let's be honest. That's why a lot of people leave our movement. I started a story in the very beginning. You reminded me. I didn't finish it. this person who picked this up, he was saying in the beginning, I was very happy, but then I became unhappy. This happens to a lot of people. They come and, wow, chanting Hare Krishna, this is wonderful. And everything is there, and Bhagavad Gita, and everything makes sense, and it's just so nice. And then one day they come and they talk to some other devotee, and that devotee says, did you know the temple president? I saw him eating prasadam in the bathroom. Very bad. Why he's doing like that? And they say some bad things about someone. And then that new person, he thinks, it hurts them. It's violence. They think, I thought everybody here was a saint. I thought everybody here was very nice. Now I'm having to choose between this temple president or this devotee. Who's right? Who's wrong? And there's some politics. And people become disturbed by that. And we can spoil Srila Prabhupada's movement. We should understand that we don't own this movement. This movement belongs to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it belongs to Srila Prabhupada. We have some responsibility, just like parents. The child doesn't belong to the parent. If a parent thinks like that, there'll be some problem. And just like we see so many devotees, before they become devotees, their parents tell them, I love you, I'll do anything for you. And then one day they come home and they say, hey mom, look what I got at the university, this really nice book, Bhagavad Gita, and I want to join the Hare Krishnas. And then their parents say, I hate you. Get out from here. It's a kind of violence. So the children don't belong to us. We're caretakers of the children. We're caretakers of this movement. We should be very careful with it. And if we misbehave with our children, we misbehave with the movement, we can cause so much trouble for it. We should understand that it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Srila Prabhupada, and I want to try to help this. So we'll do that by giving respect to everyone. Now, a problem comes, a potential problem, in the sense that if we should offer respect to everyone, some people then they'll say, well then, I'll go here and there, I'll visit different groups, and it's all the same. Prabhuji, we should respect all Vaishnavas. They're all such chanting Hare Krishna. Don't be a fanatic. People say like this, and it sounds good. Thakur Bhaktivedanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he says, this is the nature of a Kanishta Adhikari, a Prakriti Bhakta. He's a Prakriti Bhakta, meaning he's a materialistic person. Ishrade Tadadineshu. Baliseishu Dvisatsucha. Archayami Vaharaye. Pujamya Shriyayate. He offers respect to the Lord. I see Krishna here and I respect him. But Natad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu. To other devotees and to other persons, he may not have so much respect. He has some sentimental idea. When he sees a Majjhima Adhikari who gives respect according to different positions, and some people he may even tell them, I'm really sorry, we'll give you some prasadam outside on the street, but you can't come in the temple. You have to take a bath first. Sometimes we had that problem in Los Angeles. Someone wouldn't take a bath but once a month or something. And if they come in, they smell so bad, people would leave. So you have to tell them, oh, we love you. Take some prasadam here. If you take a bath, you can come inside. Or if there's some kind of troublemaker like that, we have to tell him. But a Kanishta Adhikari, when he sees that, he becomes critical. Oh, he's not really a sadhu. Sadhu is someone who respects everyone. He likes to respect an Uttama Adhikari, but he doesn't understand an Uttama Adhikari. He has some sentimental idea that I'll just respect all Vaishnavas, and it sounds very good. Usually what I see when people have that kind of attitude, it's not, they're having a problem. They're having a problem in their own bhajan. They haven't gone deeply into the holy name. They haven't strictly avoided the 10 offenses to the holy name. They don't have a proper taste. They haven't cultivated a proper relationship with their guru. And because of that, they're not feeling satisfied. And then they become restless. And in the name of being broad-minded, they go to some other group. But then we often see, as we were talking about our friend, we have one friend who took initiation from one ISKCON guru. And then his Guru Maharaj had some problems. after some time. And he publicly advertised. This devotee found out about his guru's problems and publicly advertised his guru's difficulty. And then shortly after that, he left ISKCON. And he went to one branch of the Gaudiya Mutt. And in that branch of the Gaudiya Mutt, that's when I first came in contact with him. He wrote me some email. And he liked our magazine and was talking with me. And he became a big person in that group. But then one day he wrote me some email and he said, what do you do if your guru is criticizing the Babaji's? Because his Gaudiya Mutt guru was criticizing the Babaji's. And I wrote him back and I said, be careful. You should be respectful to your guru. Go and speak to him privately or something. But he didn't. And he left. And then he went to Radhakund. And he took initiation for the third time from a Radhakund Babaji. And he became a big person in that group. And a big advocate for the Radhakund Babaji's. And then after a while, he left him. And he lost faith in him somehow because that Radhakund Babaji had too much of an institution. And he looked like he was too much of an institutional person. So then he went to another different Babaji and took initiation for the fourth time. And then after some time, he also lost faith in him. And he left him. And then he became a Buddhist. Buddhist sannyasi and began traveling. So we should be faithful to our Guru Janas. Rupa Goswami, he's described that Sujata Yashya Snigdha Sadhu Sangha Satovare. We should associate with persons who are more advanced than us. That's the definition of a sadhu. Simple definition. We all know some sadhus. There's so many sadhus here in the room because they're more advanced than me. So let me associate with them. And especially, he says, I should associate with sadhus like Smita Krishna Maharaj, because they're very affectionate. If someone's not affectionate to you, it's very difficult to get mercy from them. Some sadhus may be there, but they're a very angry person. Very harsh, and they may be. Durvasa Muni is also a sadhu, but he's an angry kind of person, a little difficult to associate with. He may not give me so much mercy. And Rupa Goswami says you should also associate with persons who are sujatiya, literally from your own family. And this point is made by all sadhus that I've seen. We have some occasions sometimes doing our prakramas and things, going to different temples. We meet different mahants, different sadhus over the years in India. And I can tell you very frankly, they all tell their followers, don't go to ISKCON, don't go to the Gaudiya Mutt, don't go here, don't go there. Just like a parent tells a child, don't go outside the fence. And the child, maybe he's 3 years old, he says, why not? Because there are bad people out there. They tell the child that. Because the child can't understand. The parent's worried. Someone may kidnap the child. The child may get hit by a car, and may get bitten by a dog. Some bad thing may happen. So the parent just tells them, they're all bad people out there. So you stay here in the fence. So that's good. It helps the child. But if the child grows up and is a 40-year-old man, and he never left the yard because my mommy told me not to, and he's still there and people come by, what do we call that? We call that in America a nerd. Sometimes that little child, even he may shake his finger and call people outside the fence name, you're bad. My mother said you're bad. And the people who are walking by, it's very cute. And you laugh. The child is so sweet. He thinks everybody's bad. That's okay. You understand why. But if he's a 40-year-old man, you're bad. You're all bad. It's a bizarre thing. We need to become mature. And whether we like it or not, many of us here, I think, have been in this movement for many years. 10 years ago, even, ISKCON was the only player on the block. But now today, the fact of the matter is, there's many other Vaishnav groups who are out there. And we're going to be compared with them. And we're going to come in contact with them sometimes. And we should know how to deal with them. We should be respectful. We should be in ecstasy. If we see someone with tilak who's chanting Hare Krishna, if we see some Christian saint, we should be in ecstasy. Anytime we see any saintly person, we should be so happy. But we have to be mature enough to also understand, but I have my family. Because if I'm not nishtha to my Gurudev, If I'm not faithful to my guru, then how will I make spiritual advancement? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Mukunda. And the Chaitanya Bhagavad is described. What was the fault of Mukunda? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he's going to so many different places, so many different societies. He goes to this group and then that group, and he goes to the Ramanuja devotees. He says, yes, Ramanuja is the best, and Lord Vishnu is the best. And he goes to the Ramanandi Vaishnava. He says, yes, Ramachandra is the best. And then he comes here and he says, Krishna is the best. He goes to the Mayavadis and he says, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. He hangs out with everybody. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore rejected him. We should stay with our family. But a mature person may have his family, but he may also have other friends outside. We may have friends who are Christians, who are Muslims. But we just want to be friends with people who have good qualities. And if someone criticizes other people, what to speak, if someone criticizes Srila Prabhupada's movement, dir teki dandavat. I don't want to be around that person. And even people in this movement, if they're going to criticize other Vaishnavas or other people, I don't want to hear that. I don't care just because you're an ISKCON devotee. We don't want to hear that kind of thing. It hurts our movement. So we need to become mature. In the beginning, we were told, don't go see anybody. And that's good for us. Because if we go to other people, we may become confused. Sometimes we're doing some research for our publication work, and we go to some sadhu or someone to ask some questions. What is the history of this Shivlinga? What is the history of this Krishna deity or something? And they tell us different things. But I see other people, sometimes they're going there, and Maharaj, please give me some instruction about my bhajan. And then they're going to tell you something different. They have a different bhajan pranali. And all of them have a different bhajan pranali. In Jagannath Puri, there's hundreds of different sadhus, and they all have different systems of worship. And we respect all of them. But I have Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came, and he saved me, and he had a particular bhajan pranali. I want to take part in this card game of life, this card game of spiritual life. But to play this game, you can only play according to the cards that you've been dealt. I have been dealt certain cards. Srila Prabhupada came to me. I have this association of the devotees here today. I have my Guru Maharaj. We have this association. This is what Krishna gave me. So now let me play the game according to this. And let me try to go very deep in this thing. The people who don't go deep in the chanting of the holy name, they don't avoid the 10 offenses, they don't feel satisfied. And they become restless, and then they want to go here and there and there. And they try to justify that in different ways. And they don't make advancement. Just like someone, examples given, if you want to dig for water, and someone digs and they dig a hole that's 5 feet deep, and they don't get any water, oh, this is not a good place. So I go to another place, and there I dig for 8 or 10 feet. I don't get water. Again, I become discouraged. So I go to another place, and I dig for 15 feet. I don't get water. Oh, what is this? Not good. So I go to a fourth place, and there I dig for 20 feet down, and I get water. If you dug 20 feet the first place, you would have got water. But you're so restless, you wasted your time and made such a big over-endeavor going here and going there and going there. What is it? Sometimes people think, I didn't get everything. You can't get everything in ISKCON. All that I got was the holy name. What is that? No, I didn't get this other type of bhajan. I didn't get this other siddha pranali or this thing. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told the Mayavadi sannyasis and Banaris, he said, my guru told me, Murkatumi Tomara Nahika Vedanta Adhikar. You don't have Adhikar to study Shastra. You're a fool. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know one verse. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam. It doesn't say, Siddha Pranali, Siddha Pranali, Siddha Pranali Eva Kevalam. This thing or that thing. The holy name is everything. And Krishna is there. But we have to have strong faith in it. If we don't have strong faith in Srila Prabhupada and our Gurujanas, if we make some offense to the devotees, then we'll lose our taste and we'll go away. We'll become bewildered and we'll start thinking some other thing is there. So we need to become mature and be able to offer respect to all persons, not just Vaishnavas, but Christians and Buddhists and even atheists, anyone who's a human being. We should have respect and love for them. People will feel that. It's not just something we do as a trick. Huh? Did you get one of these yet? Are you flying in or you're flying out? Oh, great, you get one, take it with you. Here you go. Huh? We can learn so many tricks to give people a book to try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. But they're not going to be satisfied with that. We should bring people to Krishna consciousness by our own qualities, our own good qualities. And we should be dedicated, fully dedicated, with full faith in Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Janas, and associating in a cooperative way with the devotees in this society. Then everything will be okay. So, I think we're a little late. Yes? So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Gopremanandi. Maharaj, would you like to add anything or correct anything?
No.
I don't want to get in trouble with doing something wrong here. I'm just a new person here. I don't know much. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, we have an institution. We're people. I realize that after some time. We're actually all people inside the building, but you go different places, and sometimes we don't act like people. We act like an institution sometimes, and it's a little frightening. Even sometimes, I think, for sannyasis, sometimes you go places, and it's a little... you say the wrong thing or something, and you're in big trouble. So please forgive me if I said something wrong. So anybody have any questions or comments? Tapas Prabhu?
You mentioned in the beginning the broad mission of this cosmos to fighting for the problem to develop love and support and this while learning from this religion or other religions. My question is also, isn't there also a more narrow mission in this comment? Lord Krishna is glorified. You have given something nobody else gave. No other avatar was given. And we have a duty to also distribute that particular form of bhakti. And that's what I said. That's not just general love of God,
and
that's
the... Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding of this point is that this is the Krishna conscious movement, that whether someone uttama adama kichuna bhachila jachiya di like a call, kahi premananda hemona goranga piroya dharyabho, we want everyone to come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we don't care if you're a Muslim. You want to call yourself that, and some people have to call themselves that. I have friends, we were preaching to sometimes in Iran. There's some initiated devotees there. If they don't wear a tagia, a Muslim cap, if they don't profess to be a Muslim publicly, they may be killed. If they're caught preaching Krishna consciousness by the law in Iran now, they can be killed. That's considered to be an offense. So they say, I'm a Muslim. Haridas Thakur always said, I'm a Muslim. He never said that I joined a different religion. Murari Gupta, he always said, I'm a follower of Lord Ramachandra. He never gave up that devotion to Lord Ram. But he also had love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as did Haridas Thakur. And they got the topmost thing. As we were reading the other day in Bhagavatam class in Stockholm, that Mahaprabhu, he told Advaitacharya that in this Kali Yuga, I'm giving such a special thing that devotees, even if they're worshipping other forms of the Lord, such as Matsya Krama Varaha, other incarnations of myself, or they have some other mood, they're in the mood of Shantaras or Dasyaras or something, I'm going to give them Madhurjaras. I'm going to give them Bhakti to Krishna. This is a movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it seems that Srila Prabhupada didn't require people to give up those designations, but rather we should just see them as that, as designations. And in some ways, I find in Orissa, they have some understanding of that even. They call me a Christian. a lot of the pandas, because I was born, I've come from America. If you're from America, it means you're a Christian. That's their cultural idea. It's not just that they're philosophically foolish, they don't understand the Bhagavad Gita or some simple principles like that, but they're speaking in terms of a cultural way. And we don't necessarily disagree with that. Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Jiva Dharma, he says some very startling things. He says that someone, a Vaishnava who's from a Sudra family, should not marry a Vaishnavi from a Brahmin family. He says they shouldn't do that. Jiva Goswami says some similar startling things in his commentary in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says that a Vaishnava who's born in a Sudra family shouldn't do Agnihotra, shouldn't do fire yajnas and things. Sometimes devotees, they read these things, they go, what's going on? Because Prabhupada never emphasized these things. We have to see the purpose in writing those things. And they were speaking at a certain time in a certain place, when at that time the culture, the society, couldn't tolerate that. And so in that kind of, if you live in that kind of society, then do like that. Otherwise they won't appreciate you. If you go to Jagannath Puri and I try to tell them, look, you should let me inside the Jagannath Mandir and I'll do worship of Lord Jagannath, see, because I've got a pipe, I've got a Brahmin thread. They won't let me inside. They don't appreciate that. Rather, I should act according to my social position. But in this society, our ISKCON society, I may do deity installations, I may do Agnihotra, I may worship the deity, I may do so many different things. Because we have a different understanding, we have a different priority. Our priority is bhakti. And we see that if someone who's initiated and someone who's following the principles of bhakti, they're automatically a Brahmin. They're automatically the topmost person. And we don't care for these other social levels of respect. But it doesn't mean that we disregard them. It's a very confusing thing sometimes for devotees. I was meditating on this last night some in our discussion, that Srila Prabhupada, in some ways, he wanted devotees to learn this culture, this Vaishnava culture. He said that everybody should go to India and live for 5 years, at least. Prabhupada said that sometimes. Another time he said at least 1 month a year, all the devotees should go. And he said they should learn a local language, you know, when they're there, and they should see the culture, because we'll learn so much by that. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada allowed many things which were not Indian culture. Allowing ladies to live in the temple. Devotees offering different foodstuffs which were not traditional things, like cookies, biscuits, like cakes, and pizzas, and different things like that. And Prabhupada allowed that. Prabhupada allowed, and he had the disciples and followers who were homosexual and lesbian, and Prabhupada didn't discriminate against them. He allowed that thing. Prabhupada did certain things which in the Gaudiya Mutt were, for the most part, unheard of. Ladies giving class. I say that a little slowly because that's not completely true. Mm-hmm. I have some scholarly friends who have been doing some research. I have some friends in the Gaudiya Mutt. Damodar Swarup Prabhu, who's a friend of ours in Orissa, he's a big person now. He has about 18,000 disciples. And he's just preaching in the villages. His guru was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. I can't remember his name. And before his Guru Maharaj left, he was seeing the ISKCON devotees, and wow, these guys are really cool. And he asked his guru for permission to take siksha from Prabhupada. And probably his guru gave him permission, and he joined ISKCON. He was an ISKCON devotee for a long time, and due to some politics and whatever, he left. But he's still very respectful and worships Prabhupada. His mother was initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and his mother had hundreds of disciples. She was a guru. And a lot of her disciples were men. And she was giving class. And there were a lot of the followers, lady disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who were doing that. So sometimes people say that Prabhupada was doing something different. Really, he wasn't. He was just being very, very broad-minded. And it's an interesting cultural, historical thing. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm not advocating, but just trying to look at ISKCON in a historical way. If you speak to older devotees like Mother Jamuna, Krishna Kunya had a long talk with her a few years ago about this. And she told us that in the early days in ISKCON, there was no difference between the men and the women. Even you look at some of the old pictures, they all had these yellow sheets that they would wear. The ladies would wear them over their head, and the men would wear them like a dhoti. But otherwise, they wore the same clothes. The only difference was they used different bathrooms. But sometimes the ladies would lead kirtan, sometimes the men would lead kirtan, sometimes the ladies would give class, sometimes the men would give class. And there wasn't any stigma. Where did this difference come? It came historically when Srila Prabhupada sent some of his senior disciples to India to try to get some property in Mayapur, and there was no place for them to stay. So they stayed in the Gaudiya Math temple. And they came back and they said, wow, hey, you guys, we've been doing everything wrong. You know, our kirtans are not really right. We should do it in this way, you know, like they're doing in the Gaudiya, because they were impressed by that cultural presentation. And the ladies, they shouldn't be like this. And Mother Jamuna, she was traveling with Prabhupada in India. And sometimes Prabhupada would ask her to give lectures on the Pandal stage with him. And sometimes he would ask her to lead kirtan. And he was asking her to sit next to him, sit near him on the stage regularly. And one day, one of the senior men, who was a sannyasi, he came to her and he said, this is not right. You should not do this. The ladies should be in the back, and you don't do this thing. So she felt very hurt, but what could she do? So she stood in the back, and she said during the lecture she was watching Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada kept looking to where usually Jamuna was sitting. Where is she? And looking around. And then later on, when after the lecture, she came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Where were you? You don't like me anymore?" And she said, "No, Prabhupada. They told me to stand in the back like this." And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And I think because he saw these are his leading men, and if they have this idea, Prabhupada wanted to push on this movement, so he had to do that thing. But it's not. This culture is a very wonderful thing. And anyone who's lived in India can tell you, it's such a wonderful, it's the topmost culture in the world. It's very high class. But it's not the same kind of culture you find in Sweden or America or England. And if we try to insist that people come to this cultural standard to practice Krishna consciousness, they won't make it. And we're not going to do a service to Srila Prabhupada's movement. We should understand these cultural values, and if we can imbibe them and act upon them, that's very nice, but it's not required. Jatayu wasn't a first-class Brahmin. He was a vulture. Uh-huh. And vultures, they're not even vegetarian. Uh-huh. Prabhupada said that Garuda, he's a non-vegetarian Vaishnava. It's not required like that. We follow these principles because this is our vow to our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada has instructed us like that. But it's not that someone has to do those things to even be a Vaishnava. They may be a non-vegetarian Vaishnava in Prabhupada's language and even be as exalted as Garuda. So we have to see, according to time, place, and circumstance, how we can push on Prabhupada's movement and encourage like that. And they may be Muslims, they may be Christians, they may be homosexuals or lesbians. What do we care? We all have problems. Am I any better than this other person? But the unifying principle is that we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is my understanding and answer to your question, that they may keep their other designations. I'm like those priests in Nepropetros. I'm a Christian priest, but I like Hare Krishna. And I like to chant, and I like to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's wonderful. Let them do that. And they're a member of our movement.
So let's say then you have a temple, preaching place, and it's open for everyone, and there might be people who like our movement, they like to chant Hare Krishna, but they are situated from another, not even Vaishnava necessarily, but, you know. So then that is welcome, but there is a problem I see if they start to preach there, but we need to,
yes,
who are more innocent, like, isn't it that you have to...
Yeah, so my suggestion in that regard, my humble personal suggestion is that you have to see different time, place, and circumstance how to deal with that. You have to see who they're speaking to. There's a very mature person. I was a temple president for a little while in Seattle, Washington, by some bizarre quirk of fate. And once we had a sannyasi come to visit our temple. And he was a follower of Kirtananda Prabhu. And at that time, New Vrindavan wasn't part of ISKCON. and there was some very bad stories and things. This person was such a nice devotee. He was, at that time they were mixing some Christianity with Krishna consciousness and doing different strange things. But he was walking and hitchhiking around the country. He was really a very renounced person. And he came to our temple. I was a temple president, I was also the head pujari, and I was taking care of doing the archon for Radha Nilamata, the deities there at that time. We had one other devotee there, Makhan Chor Prabhu, who was a Prabhupada disciple, and he was dressed in Gorni tie. And that was it. It was just the two of us with the deities. No one else was there. So I asked that sannyasi, would you like to give class? What's the harm? And he gave his class, and he gave a nice class. It was okay, and he felt really loved and some affection from us. Later on, I got some flack from some leaders. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have let him. I said, please. There was just two of us there. We were a mature person. So you have to see the circumstance. Maybe you can allow them to do that. Maybe it's okay. Or maybe you just have to take them aside and say, hey, look, come on. You know, we just can't do that here. We don't go to your, you know, your Shiva temple and start telling everybody that Shiva's a demigod and you should worship Krishna. He's more important. We respect Lord Shiva, your guru, whatever. We don't criticize him. We want to respect everybody. But it's not Khitri. It's not all one. We have this particular thing. It requires some maturity. The difficult thing I see, I was a bhakti leader for some time in Los Angeles, and the difficult thing is with new devotees, because they need to be told, don't go outside the fence. And if they start hearing all these other things, they become confused. At the same time, it's actually proper for us to be respectful to everyone, regardless of their faith, whatever they may be. But sometimes we just have to see, as a manager, you just have to see the situation and what you can tell them. You may have to tell them, look, you know, I'm sorry. You may even have to tell them, you can't come here anymore. If you just won't cooperate and you insist on coming here and giving your Christian tracts, your papers or something to everybody who's here and arguing with everybody, I'm sorry. You can't come. We love you. Come take prasadam or something. You can't, you know, whatever. You have to see time, place, and circumstance. I think it's really important. As a movement, we always have to remember and take shelter of the personal quality of things, because the nature of institutions throughout the world, every government, every library, every senior citizens association, every association is that it leans toward impersonalism. We start identifying ourselves as being a part of a group, whatever that is. You know, I'm ISKCON. Well, who is ISKCON? You know, as people complain about ISKCON, ISKCON's bad. Really? Can you introduce me to him? I'd like to meet that ISKCON fellow, you know. It's a kind of defacing people. We're defacing someone if we treat them as a Christian or as an ISKCON devotee. I'm an ISKCON devotee because this is a Seva Sangha Srila Prabhupada, and I'm serving in that. And I identify myself in one sense as that. But that's not my ontological position. It's not that when I joined the temple, I got Kaivalya Mukti and I merged, and now I am ISKCON, you know? Like some kind of robot or something. I'm a person. And if we don't behave like persons, how can we preach? It's weird. People don't like it. They don't like institutions. We have to keep the institution thing more in the background for most people and keep the personal thing in the foreground for our personal bhajan, for our society, for our friendship, and for our preaching also. But we also need to be respectful and cooperative with the managers. We should cooperate with Tapas Prabhu in a very difficult situation. Because if we don't do that, how will things go on? That's serving Srila Prabhupada. Is that okay? Good point. Anything else, is there? Okay. Well, thank you very much. We want to try to have a Vaishnava Sangha. I'd like to say a little more about this tomorrow. We spoke about this last night. It's an important thing. This is the art and heart of Vaishnava Sangha. And that means that we should respect everyone. And that everyone has an equal role here. We do so many parikramas every year in Jagannath Puri. And we always begin by telling devotees this thing. We want a Vaishnava Sangha. I'm sitting here in the chair with a garland. Doesn't mean that I'm some different creature, some different living entity than everyone else here. We should respect everyone. Everyone has a role. The mothers who are here with their children, it's a difficult thing to raise a child. And they're bringing that child to the assembly. They're doing a service to the whole society because they're trying to raise their child in a Krishna conscious way. We should respect that. We should respect the brahmacharis who are living an austere life and trying to serve the spiritual master and be completely dedicated to them. Everybody adds a particular quality to the sangha. And it's not that the speaker is more important than the listeners or that a senior devotee is more important than another. We have some etiquette, social etiquette, that we give to the managers and to the speaker and the sannyasis and Prabhupada disciples and whatever. But ultimately we want to respect bhakti. And that's the art and heart of a Vaishnava sangha. Okay? We'll stop there. Vamsakopatarubhischa kutasindhudevacha kutitanam bhavanebhya vaishnavebhya. Srila Prabhupada ki.